All right, I'd like you to take your Bibles tonight, if you would. Psalm 100. Psalm 100, in my Bible, and probably in many of yours, it's entitled A Song of Praise. Or you can interpret that word praise as thanksgiving. So it's a song of thanks, a psalm of thanksgiving. Only one of the 150 psalms that has this title, a psalm of thanksgiving. And of course, being tomorrow being Thanksgiving, it's an appropriate time to look at this psalm. And this is a psalm that the Jews would sing as they got ready to go into the temple. As they got ready to go worship God, they would use this song as one of the songs that they would sing as they came into the house of the Lord. And in this psalm, there's two calls to give thanks, two calls to give thanksgiving, two calls to give praise. And after each of the call, the psalmist reminds us of some reasons why we should do that. And it's amazing to me how fresh and living the Bible is, because even after all these years, the reasons that the psalmist gives for us back in this day, that when this psalm was written, the reason that the psalmist gave to praise God are still true in our day today. And so as we look at these calls to thanksgiving and the reasons that he gives, let's apply them to our lives. And let's make sure that we're being thankful to God, because these same reasons are true. So we're going to just go through it verse by verse. Verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. This is a verse I claim. I'm glad that verse didn't say you had to make a noise that was in tune, or a noise that was on key, or a noise that was, with the right rhythm. If it said that, I'd be in a heap of trouble. Some of you would be okay. But your preacher would be in trouble. I'm glad it just says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I can do that. You know, we cheer when our hockey team scores a goal. We cheer when our football team, of course we don't have one that does this very often, but scores a touchdown. Or we cheer when somebody hits a home run. Well, what the psalmist is saying, hey, let's have that same attitude toward God. Let's cheer God. Let's praise him. And notice what it says, a joyful noise. A joyful, there was a feeling and an emotion attached to this noise that they made, and that emotion was joy. And again, they were using this psalm as they came into the house of the Lord. And so what this psalm says to me, as we get ready to come to the house of the Lord today, we ought to have that same emotion, that emotion of joy. And sometimes it ought to come out in song. I know we're supposed to come to this place. I know God tells us, for example, in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. I know that, you know, that God expects us to be here, and we ought to come because it's right. But we ought to, but it ought to be more than that. I mean, if you get up on Sunday morning and you say, well, I don't feel very joyful this morning, you still ought to come to church because it's the right thing to do. You still ought to come to church because God says to do it. But how much better it would be if every time that we come to this place, we came expecting to hear from God, we came with our heart full of joy, and we came just looking forward to what God was going to do. The psalmist says in Psalm 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And Gene and Straya talked about it. Can you imagine? And going to a church? And when this church started, we met up in the Masonic Temple in Clio. But can you imagine taking everything in and taking everything out after the service? I mean, just think about that. I mean, all the psalm books. I mean, somebody'd have to bring them in. Somebody'd have to take them out. All the offering plates. If you had, did they have a piano or any kind of instrument in their church, Gene? Synthesizer. Okay, so somebody has to carry that in and carry it out. And how about chairs? Do they have chairs, or they got chairs? But just think about, and Straya mentioned it, just think about carrying everything in and everything out. And I was thinking as she said that, look what God has given us. And when we come to this place, it ought to be a joy. I was glad when they said unto me, let us come into the house of the Lord. Psalm 84, verse 10, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And what the psalmist was saying, one day in church is worth 1,000. One day in church, because he looked forward to it so much, because he enjoyed it so much, he counted it more than worth 1,000 days. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have this same attitude where we said, hey, I get to go to church today, I'm looking forward to it, and I'd rather do that than anything else. And so he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Not trying to impress anybody else. Not trying to impress anybody that they're going to church with or anybody on the outside. They are directing their praise to God. And the noise that they made, the joyful noise that they made, is directed to him. And then the psalmist says, in verse 1, he invites everybody to do it. He says, all ye lands, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. You know, when you enjoy something, you want others to enjoy it with you. When you enjoy doing something, you invite other people to come with you. And this is what the psalmist is saying. Hey, I'm getting ready to go to the house of the Lord. I'm happy about it. I'm gonna bring somebody with me. I want them to enjoy the thing that I enjoy. I want them to experience the thing that I like, so I'm going to invite them to come with me. And maybe if some of us were more joyful about coming to this place, we'd be more apt to invite somebody with us. Okay? I mean, don't come to this place. And again, if the only reason you're coming is because you have to, I mean, if that's the only thing that motivates you, I don't want you to change. You keep operating if that's the only reason you come, because you have to. But I want you to get beyond that. I want you to get to the point where you look forward to coming to this place. You're joyful about it, and you can't wait till Wednesday night or Sunday gets here. And because you enjoy it so much, you're going to bring somebody with you. Somebody with you. So I said, now, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You see, the psalmist doesn't separate praise and service. He says we need both. We need to be thankful to God and we need to praise him. But as we're doing that, we need to serve him. Praise without service is empty. Service without praise is work. It's drudgery. We need to work and serve God because we love him. It's sort of like being married. You know, if you just serve your spouse and there's no love in that relationship, pretty soon that service will become a drudgery and your marriage is in trouble. But if you just love your spouse and don't serve them, pretty soon your marriage is going to be in trouble. It's sort of like faith without works is dead. Love without service is not much love. And service without love turns into drudgery. And what the psalmist is saying, you need both. We need not only to love God and be thankful, but that love needs to show up in our service. And again, you got to have both. One without the other will cause you to burn out. One without the other will cause you to quit serving God or quit loving God. And so we need to serve him as we love him and love him as we serve him. And again, just think about your relationship with your spouse, those of you that are married. I mean, if your husband says, I love you, I love you, I love you, but doesn't do a doggone thing, ladies, how would you feel? Oh, yes, I love you. Well, could you take out the garbage? No. Could you pick up your socks? No. Could you paint this room that needs painting? No. I love you. Well, that's nice. How about doing something? Huh? And again, so it takes both. And that's what the psalmist is saying. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. I've already done my quota of singing for the week, so I won't torture you again tonight. I gave you too much on Sunday. But I like to sing. I know I don't sing very good, but I like to get in my car and I like to sing. Adam's not in here, but when the kids were little and we were, you know, when we were sitting in church singing, I practice this verse before I even knew what it meant. I mean, when I sing, I just don't like to, you know, I like to sing. If I'm going to sing, I'm going to sing loud. I want to put everything I have into it. And when the kids were little, when we were standing singing, they'd always, you know, put a distance between me and them, and because they didn't want people to know that they were related to me. In fact, it's funny. A couple, 3 weeks ago, we went down to Belleville for a Bible conference, and Adam said to me, "Now, Dad, don't sing too loud. They don't know you down here." Funny part was, they invited all the preachers to come up and be part of the choir. So we both had to go. I just sang as loud as I could. It didn't make any difference. I wanted to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All right. Verse 3 tells us why we should do that. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Now, there's some other things in that verse that I'm going to talk about in just a minute. My point is, we could stop right there. That's why we need to praise him. That's why we need to serve him. Because the Lord, he is God. He's God. He deserves our praise. He's God. Now, it goes on and tells us some things that he has done as God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. He made us. He made us. Well, I was born. No, you weren't. You were made by God. You were made by God. Made by God. He made us. We are his people. We belong to him and the sheep of his pasture. Again, he not only made us, he redeemed us. We belong to him. He bought us. He paid the price for us on Calvary. I've told this story before, but it makes the point about the little boy that made a boat. Went to a lake, you know, designed it and made it himself, and went to a lake and put it in the water and sailed it for a little bit. Not one that you could get in, just a little boat. And the waves caught it and took it away from him across the lake. A few days later, he was passing a store, toy store or something. He saw his little boat in the window for sale. He went into the store and said, "Hey, mister, that boat in the window's mine." And the storekeeper said, "No, it's not. I bought it from another kid." He said, "No, it's mine. Come here." He said, "I'll show you." He took him over to the window and turned the boat over, and on the bottom was his initials. "Those are my initials. I made this boat." And the storekeeper said, "Well, I'm sorry, son. I bought it. If you want it back, you'll have to buy it." And the little boy said, "Well, I don't have any money right now, but will you keep it for me until I can raise the money?" And so he went out and borrowed money and worked and got enough money and went back, and the guy kept the boat for him, and he bought it. He walked out of the store saying, "Hey, little boat, you're mine. You're mine twice. I made you and I bought you." That's exactly what God did for us. He made us and then he bought us. So that's why we're his people. And the sheep of his pasture implies that he's going to take care of us. He will give us what we need. He will provide. And I like what Gene says. Sometimes God doesn't do it till it gets down to the last minute. That's where faith comes in. That's where trust in God comes in. You see, we want it in the bank, or we want to know that it's there, so when we need it, you know, you don't trust God very much that way. But when God waits till you actually need it before he gives it to you, what he's building in you is faith and trust. The Israelites went out every single morning to gather the manna. Gathered twice as much on Friday as they did any other day because of the Sabbath. But can you imagine what it must be like? And Matt, you guys probably know about it, and it sounds like Andy knows about it. But can you imagine what it's like to depend on God every single day for what you need? Most of us haven't done that, if we're honest. We haven't. We have... Our freezers are full. We have money in the bank. The cupboards are full. We don't know what it is. I mean, you know, we say we depend on God, but I would
suggest that most of us haven't been put to the test. And if we ever got to the point where we were like the Israelites, where every day we got up and said, God, how are you going to feed me today? I'm not going to worry about it because I know you're going to do it. But how are you going to feed me today? We are his people and the sheep of his pasture, and we need to praise him. Now, let me back up for a second. We don't need to praise him because he feeds us every day. He does that because he's God. We don't need to praise him because he redeemed us. He did that because he's God. We don't need to praise him because he made us. He did that because he was God. We need to praise him because he's God. And here's my point. It's a subtle one, but I'll just make it real clear. If he decides not to feed us, he's still God and deserves our praise. Huh? He's still God. You know, we get in the habit of praising God because of all the things that he's done for us. And he does, I mean, we talked about it Sunday morning. Forget not all his benefits. I mean, he does so many things for us. But we need to get to the point in our thanksgiving and in our praise where we praise him, not because of what he does, but because he's God. Because he's God. He does all those things for us because he's God. But if he quits doing them, does that mean we quit praising him? No. No. We need to praise him because he's God. Second call of thanksgiving is in verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. The Lord is good and he does good. The Lord is good. That's why that's the second call to thanksgiving. With the first call, we need to thank him and praise him because he's God. Because he's God. And the second call, we need to praise and thank him because he is good. He's good. His mercy is everlasting. Praise God for that. I'm glad we don't have a God that's fickle. I'm glad we don't have a God that changes. I'm glad we have a God that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm glad his mercy is everlasting. If his mercy was not everlasting, all of us would be in trouble. If his mercy did not last for eternity, all of us would be in trouble. Because if mercy goes away, then I get what I deserve. I don't want what I deserve. I don't think you do either. I don't want what I deserve. I want the mercy of God. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. His truth, this book right here, endureth to all generations. I have this book that reminds me that God is God. I have this book that reminds me that he is good. And so I'm going to praise him. I'm going to thank him. Because, again, and if you only walk away with one thing tonight, I want you to walk away with this. God deserves our praise, and God deserves our thanksgiving if he doesn't do another thing for us. I mean, if tomorrow he says, Nick, you're on your own, he still deserves your praise. If tomorrow he comes to me and says, hey, pal, you're on your own, he still deserves my praise. Now, he's not going to do that. But my point is, we need to get to that place in our thanksgiving and in our praise that we quit, that it's not dependent on what he does for us. I love him and I thank him because he's God and he's good. And he's good. And he's good. So tomorrow, I hope you have time with your families. I hope you have time with people that you love. I hope you have time to set back a little bit and reflect on the blessings that you enjoy. But also hope you have time to set back and think about your Lord is God. And he is good. Now, all of us could go and list 100 million things that he's done for us. We could. We could. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. We could list things, thing after thing after thing after thing that God has done. And we ought to thank him for those things. But if he doesn't do another thing, he still deserves our praise. He still deserves our thanksgiving. He is still God. And he is good. All right, good to have you tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer.